persecution seems to be a growing thing in the world, taking on a life of its own. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
You know, there are many forms of persecution in the world, and I'm sure you're aware of that. Depending upon where you live and, of course, whether or not you're a Christian, you may experience workplace persecution that keeps you from being promoted. You may find yourself shunned due to an ever-increasing liberalism or leftism that is opposed to God and Christianity. The type of persecution some Christians experience in the workplace is not the kind that can be proved in a court of law either. There's a type of persecution that missionary friends of ours experience in Israel. There, they've been routinely seen in their homes, surrounded by Orthodox Jews who gather to simply make noise and hurl invective and insult. They do this while Christian meetings occur inside the home. They also have to deal with landlords who refuse to fix things that need repair. And the red tape in getting the simplest of things done can be burdensome and tedious. Yet they stick it out because they believe God has them there for a purpose. Christians who live in other parts of the Middle East or Asia are in physical danger. Countries under Sharia law are not countries that tolerate other religions, especially Christianity. Now, on one hand, Muslims will tell you how much they respect Jesus, often adding, "Peace be unto him." On the other hand, they see Jesus as subservient to Muhammad. And whenever the Bible teaches something they see as an affront to Islam, Islam is accepted and Christianity is rejected. This type of environment creates a great deal of tension for Christians going into those countries to work as missionaries. Now, of course, most of the time, they're not allowed to enter as actual missionaries, so other reasons for entering the country, business reasons, must be given. Missionary work in these countries is done covertly, just as it was in the first century of the church under Nero, where severe persecution tended to push the church underground and into the catacombs. But what about people born and raised in those countries as Muslims who at some point in their life become Christian? They convert. What happens to them? Well, judgment is often very swift and severe. Ask Asia Bibi of Pakistan, a mother of five who became a Christian and was jailed 7 years ago on the charges of blasphemy. She faces a death sentence and will have to wait a bit longer to learn of her fate. For Muslims who become Christians living in countries ruled by Sharia law, the penalties are often very severe, including public canings or beatings, prison, and ultimately death. Blasphemy is a very serious offense in these countries. Bibi is the only woman in Pakistan to ever be sentenced to death for the crime of blasphemy. Her ultimate fate is yet to be decided. But Pakistan is not the only country that treats Christians so cruelly. Of course, there is Saudi Arabia, which is, as we pointed out in another article we wrote, by the way, on our blog, Study Grow Know blog, it's called Saudi Arabia Uncovered. That country has beliefs that are very similar to the ideology of ISIS. The restrictions not only on Christians, but also on Muslims throughout that nation, appallingly strict. We need to remember that tiny Israel is surrounded by countries like Saudi Arabia that are largely Arab and therefore Islamic. This is the way they see the world, and they believe that they are on a mission from Allah to create the next and final Islamic caliphate, where the only religion allowed will be Islam. Those Muslims who convert to Christianity will be sentenced to death. Christians who are not Arab originally may be allowed to live, but they will need to pay a dhimmitude or a slave tax. This is where things are headed. And I'm also talking about that more in a short series I'm writing called 10 Kings, the Antichrist and the New World Order, which is available at my blog, studygrownowblog.com. But what about other countries of Asia? How do these countries deal with Christians and Christianity? Well, of course, it depends on the country. Some, like Japan, are more open to allowing Christian missionaries into their country while keeping Muslims out. Other countries, like China, have placed difficult demands and restrictions on Christians, and it keeps getting worse. in an article titled Red Tape, China Wants to Constrict Christian Activities Within 26 New Rules, it would appear that the government of China is going the extra mile to make things even more difficult for Christians in that nation. A friend of ours who attends our church travels to parts of Asia, including China, every year. He recently noted that one of the pastors of a Christian church there in China is called into the local police station every day. And this type of harassment is often the norm, where liberty, freedom, is always kept in check. Now, the one main organization in China overseeing religious groups and activities is called State Administration for Religious Affairs, or SARA. Now, they've recently drawn up 26 new restrictions they want applied throughout the nation of China. Interestingly enough, the new set of drafted laws begins by clearly stating that all citizens of China are allowed to believe whatever they want to believe. However, the restrictions will apply as to how those beliefs can be exhibited publicly and, in some cases, even privately. In essence, the new restrictions are designed to eliminate home-based churches or Christian gatherings. There's no religious activities not approved by SARA. No one may provide a venue for religious services not approved by SARA. No one may use their home for religious practices not approved by SARA, including home or family Bible studies. No publishing religious materials without approval from SARA. No foreign or domestic donations may be made to any religious organization not approved by SARA. No one may call themselves a pastor without approval of SARA. No international religious exchanges may happen without SARA approval. No one may study theology at school without approval of SARA. Now, while you're allowed to believe what you want, at least ostensibly, in China, you really cannot live your faith openly. In essence, everything needs to be approved by SARA. Quote, the law extends the power to restrict religion all the way down to local communities, one pastor told China Aid. The government wants to control everything, even the smallest aspects. This revision will further reduce the possibility of loosening religious control in China. It is becoming impossible, unquote. You know, it's not difficult to imagine that Christians breaking these laws would easily find themselves in prison or doing hard labor. The tragedy is that whenever the government of any nation gets involved in attempting to dial back religious freedom, it results in a form of persecution. Even some of our own politicians here in America have publicly stated that Christians need to change their opinion with respect to certain viewpoints, like abortion, as a for instance. And yet the same person who mentioned that has talked about her Methodist roots and how much the Bible means to her. One can only wonder which Bible she refers to, because God's word is very clear on murder. Then again, the same individual seems to hold the U.S. Constitution in greater authority when stating that a child, until it is physically born, is not a person, according to the Constitution. Now, regarding global persecution, one group estimates that there are over 100 million Christians being persecuted in some form worldwide on any given day. We know that as we approach the end of this age, God is giving more ground to Satan so that he, Satan, can attempt to achieve his goals of Isaiah 14:14, where he brags that he will be like the Most High. Here's another quote. AGI noted the report by Caritas Italiana, published in the daily newspaper of the Vatican City, La Osservatore Romano, reveals that Christians are facing widespread global persecution, discrimination, and violence at the hands of totalitarian regimes. However, even with all this persecution happening, we're not yet in the tribulation described by Jesus himself in his Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24, which does not officially begin until the Antichrist broke as a covenant with Israel and the surrounding Arab nations. It's Daniel 9:27. Now, obviously, it won't be like turning on a light switch where things are all good, then terrible overnight. It will have to gradually segue into terrible times, which really is what's happening throughout global society right now. But the actual and official start of the tribulation is signaled by the one event highlighted in Daniel 9:27. And from that point onward, things will grow exponentially worse for believers globally. The world has always been filled with evil. We know that from the history of the Bible itself. There have always been people who have sought to terrorize and dictate to others. History is filled with dictators and tyrants galore who have initially won the hearts of people, then quickly turned on them. Christians have always borne the major brunt of these tyrants because they're not willing to compromise. What we're seeing throughout the world now is a ramping up of that persecution toward Christians as God gives Satan more leeway to attempt to bring his goals to fruition. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world who are in the Lord. And while we naturally want to pray for the cessation of persecution, that doesn't seem to be the prayer that God will answer based on his revealed will in his word. What we need to be praying for is that our brothers and sisters in the Lord will remain strong, stalwart, and loyal to the one who gave himself for them, so that their witness will be incontrovertible, and that many who are lost will see their testimony in the face of torture and death, and will come to realize that these people have committed themselves to God, that he would glorify himself in and through them. Persecution appears to be part of the increasing gathering storm. We are more protected here in America, really, if you stop to think about it, than other places, but it's still here to some extent and growing. We need to pray for one another. And I hope this speaks to your heart. There are so many Christians being persecuted to some extent or another throughout the world, many to their deaths. We need to pray for these individuals. And yet, tribulation has not begun yet. It's still ahead of us. So I pray that until we meet again, God would open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.